Econo Lodges, Motel 6, Travel Lodge, extended stays, pulling up to that shitty ass hotel. See everybody standing outside, see the prostitutes out there on the balcony hanging over, looking at you as you're trying to get your shit out the car. You looking around, possibly trying to find your room from the outside. And there you go. And there you go. Walk in there, throw your shit on the ground, throw your shit on that chair. Probably lay across the bed and try to figure out what you're gonna do for the rest of the night while trying to fight off those triggers that you subsequently put yourself in the environment for. It's that dark, eerie feeling that you get from a hotel, of a shitty hotel. It's just that aura and the vibe and the atmosphere of wet cigarette smell. That's the best way I can describe it. It's nonsensical, but it's very practical for the economics for that hotel. For the economics in shitty hotels, it consists of a drug user, a drug dealer, and a prostitute. Every now and then you'll get somebody that's working 9 to 5, going to work, paying their weekly rent. That's about 10 of them in there, but primarily how the Middle Eastern descent people pay their bills and get their investment back within 10 years is from a drug dealer, a prostitute, and a drug user. And it starts with the drug user. The drug user gets the dope from the drug dealer, and the drug dealer pays their rent. Drug user solicits a prostitute. Prostitute pays her rent. The prostitute gets dope from the drug user, from the drug dealer rather, and the drug dealer pays their rent. And the drug user has nowhere to stay, can barely hang on to a job, has some type of hustle, and that's how the drug user pays his rent or her rent. So that's the economics of a shitty hotel. And in contrast to the real economy in the world for us as drug addicts, you know, like liquor store for alcoholics, and then 5 years go by, and then now you need treatment, you get insurance, you pay for that, and then you're going to be prescribed medicine, and you see a counselor and you pay for that. And they build their insurance, and they relapse, and you do it again. And for heroin addicts, they build for that. It's a boxing, and you got to pay prescription bills and pills, and it's just a cycle for us, you know. And this is how people that put themselves in a position to take advantage of our mistakes. That's how I perceive it. But I'm going to go ahead and get into the story about my shitty hotel. I had to stay at a couple of shitty hotels during my addiction, and on and off. I never stayed there for more than about 3 days. Every now and then I'll just listen to a prostitute. I'll find a drug dealer within the hotel. If I couldn't go to the trap house that I normally go to, if the guy wasn't consistent enough, I'll drive up and down the street looking for a shitty hotel. I'll see a couple dudes standing outside, walk up to them, ask them where the softball at, or where the dope at. And, you know, every now and then I'll strike out. But most of the time, they'd be like 204. I bang on the door, he give me the dope, you know. And I'll just keep that spot in mind. I'm going to talk about a particular hotel that was a part of my drug addiction for about 5 years, located on the southwest side of Atlanta. It was a Motel 8. I knew a couple of drug dealers in this hotel. It was like every other door, man. It was crazy. And I think these hotels, like, it will be, you have to, they'll keep the door locked. Like, you just can't walk into the lobby and sit down and it's fucking coffee over there with a continental breakfast and shit. No, it's not that type of 3-star Holiday Inn type sleep in you know, it's not that type of shit. Like, this is the type of hotel. When I first started going there, I had to yell up the fucking window, up the fucking balcony, and tell somebody to open the door till my face card was good. And if you're an addict, you know what exactly what I'm talking about by face card. So that for the first couple of weeks, I had to bang on the door, and the dude sitting behind the counter will open the door, and I'll walk up the stairs and go to the drug dealer. How I met this drug dealer, within the same red light district that I called that the hotel was located in. There were some strip clubs and stuff across the street. There's some couple other shitty hotels that was in the same vicinity, like a 5 mile radius, man. It's crazy. It was just a crime riddled boulevard. Like, and the South Fulton police, I feel, was taking part in this. Like, it's like nothing was done about it. Like, it was crazy. Like, it was like Vegas, and somehow so many girls was walking up and down the street and nobody does nothing about it. And, you know, it would seem like a cop be like, okay, this is a known, like, you see a show like First 48 or Cops or another police show that they got on TV. And, you know, when they put the camera on the cop or the detective, they'd be like, this is a known drug area or some shit like that. I was like, okay, so if this is a known drug area, this is a known drug, basically hub, pretty much. This is a known crime riddled area. Why the fuck do you have cops sitting around in the street fucking clocking people that speeding and pulling people over for fucking expired tags and blinkers and shit, when there's a whole area that solely provide the purpose of fucking up your life? It's fucking up innocent people's lives and fucking up just taking part of everything that's a sin in the Bible. And there's nothing to be done about it. And it's like, I think it's not really on some gangster type, mob type shit, but there's something political within how they let areas like this run rapid, you know? And nobody's under investigation or nothing. And this, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that if the police shut down this hotel, my life would have been better. But within that 5 years, the hotel was finally shut down and my life got better. Because I wasn't able to fuck up my life even further, because they shut down this hotel full of drug dealers and prostitutes. I'm not trying to knock these people on how they make a living, but the world is a dog-eat-dog world. And if you're not strong enough to survive, you're going to get ate. And and I say that metaphorically, and I am the analogy for that. So that's just the honest truth. For 5 years, I was getting drugs from multiple drug dealers in this hotel. And I done saw all kind of crazy shit, just fights and niggas acting stupid and the girls and the prostitutes and how shit can just lead to one thing to another so fast. And I pulled up at these hotels and dudes were shooting at each other, or I'll pull up at the hotel, then the next day I hear the prostitutes and the drug dealers and everybody in the room. Like, you go into the hotel and I knock on the dude's door. Every now and then he doesn't have the sack ready, so I have to wait for him to get the sack. And for some reason there's five other niggas in the goddamn room and they talking about everybody else in the fucking neighborhood. And somebody just got shot and robbed and just a couple nights ago and shit. And I was like, damn, that could have been me, but I want this dope so bad that I'm putting myself in danger just to get this dope. And it's amazing how they let shit like this happen in these areas, and it's crazy. And it doesn't stop, you know? And it's not gonna stop, because as soon as they shut that hotel down, The one down the all the drug dealers and the prostitute go to another one right down the street. So it's a formula to it. And they know exactly where to put their X's and Y's at, you know? And it equals money. And this is how these people survive. And it's not really that they can't do nothing else. They just choose not to. It's whatever is easy for them, you know, and it's the mindset that these people have that's never going to change. And that's, it's not really how they was brought up, but it's the purpose of their survival that makes it even easier. So, you know, just within that 5 years, man, I could have avoided so much bullshit that my addiction brought me to. And I couldn't do nothing about it. You know, every addict knows exactly what I'm talking about. You really can't. When you try to stop and you can't, that's the most horrible feeling, when you can't do shit about it. And I'm not really saying that shitty hotels enables a drug user's decisions, but what it enables your thoughts, and it makes it a clear line focus for a trigger. That's what it did for me, and it enabled my thoughts for a clear line trigger, and it was very painful, and the results that I got from it was not in my favor. Most of the times, sometimes I did solicit prostitutes in these shitty hotels. I'll get a room. I'll get her some. I'll get me some and shack up with her for about 2 days and leave. And then I'll kind of feel guilty, you know. But sometimes it did clear my conscience, because I did give her money and she's able to pay her rent for another couple of days or a week or however much they charge at the time. That's what really made me feel good, you know? Sometimes I just wish I would've smoked weed like everybody else said. But that don't make no goddamn difference now. But yeah, man, within that area, man, the hotel now to this date is shut down. Which I'm glad. And it's not the first time that's happened. It's another time that happened on, I used to get some dough on the east side of Atlanta. I have some episodes about that. And I think the re-up and porn addiction is where I talked about this hotel. I pulled up there and all of a sudden it was quiet, very quiet. The owner was walking around fucking happy. And I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? So I knocked on the dude's door. Of course, I'm a low-key type person, and that's the personality that I choose for myself. And so I try to keep myself in that type of circle. So I chose a drug dealer that stayed low-key. You know, he wasn't all crazy with it, walking around with a pistol out of his pants, hanging all outside and shit, and having a whole bunch of weed and money on the fucking bed. And he was real low-key, and he shut down like at 10 o'clock. He wasn't serving people all throughout the night, trying, like, disrespecting the people that was going to you know, just working a regular 9-to-5. And he wasn't trying to disrespect the owner either, because, you know, that's what's going to happen eventually, just not as fast as it should, but that's what's going to happen. Is a raid. But yeah, so I pulled up this day, and it was quiet and peaceful, and I heard the fucking birds and shit. So I knocked on this door and I was like, yo, what's going on? It's like, shit, man, they busted in the door and arrested everybody. He said, I wasn't here, man. I was like, god damn. I was like, shit. So I was well, that's to each his own, you know? Like, that's repercussions and consequences, you know? So it was kind of a good feeling, and it wasn't at the same time. It was like a kind of a fresh, like a, it was really, I really don't know how to explain it. It was kind of a thought that was very vague. It was, it's what, I really wasn't happy. I really wasn't sad about, you know, those guys getting arrested for trying to survive, but they could have just played their cards right for the type of environment that they're in to keep that from happening, just like the dude that was low-key about his business. So, I mean, each person that tries to survive in a shitty hotel has their own agenda. And if you plan to be successful in whatever you're trying to do, you gotta be cautious and you gotta put everything in place that would get you to the point where you don't have to be concerned about outside factors. So, yeah, with that being said, man, these shitty hotels, the reason why I think they get to the point where they can't operate without those type of people staying in their rooms is, for one, the ordinance or the just the location of the hotel, the surrounding factors of the hotel, to the point where it gets to a known dope spot, is out of my control. And I think that'll be out of the owner's control as well, because there's a few times, like the one on the east side, where the owner walked out and I saw him outside, he was happy as to. I knocked on the window one time trying to fuck with a girl, and he was just like, it's straight, you could tell in his eyes he was stressed, and he already knew I was high too. And you look at my face and my fucking nose running, it's like, oh shit, here we go again. You know, it's a whole different vibe than when you walk in the whole, when you walk into a Holiday Inn and it's like, hey, you know, good morning. How long you planning to stay for today? It ain't like that. It's like you walk into these hotels, you fucking hit the bell, they still don't come. You hit the bell again, they come around the corner and fuck, look at you like, well, what the fuck you want? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, if the police are able to do, they, which they are able to do things about these hotels, it just runs way deeper and way deeper than in thought, and way deeper, probably all the way up to politics, to how they let these hotels run. And then they kind of just, if they get enough calls or something, they'll shut the hotel down, or they'll do something about it once somebody gets shot up, fucking, once the rate goes up in their numbers and in their system. Statistics show that this is a problem. That's when the police do something about it, you know? But yeah, those shitty hotels, man, just make sure you're on the first floor. When I stayed at one of these hotels, I finally turned off the light. And about 3 hours later, at 11 p.m., the housekeeper knocks on the door and says it's time to check out. The debilitating feeling that I got from the drugs starts to neutralize. I grab myself and head out the door. These are the type of feelings and the insanity that I did not want to deal with no more, man. Like, you just have to mature out of this type of behavior. With all things considered, this the last time. This the last time. This the last time.